This is Tim Murdoch, and you're watching White Rabbit Radio live for the end of May, May 17th. We're coming into Memorial Day. Big time over in America, that's for sure. Let's get after it so I don't have to stay on all night long. Hopefully you guys are doing okay out there. And oh, man, I said there wasn't that many ticks in my area that I could see. And oh, did I get emails coming in. You guys are all on my tail. This is the worst year for ticks ever. Well, you have to get some chickens and some guinea fowl, something to eat up all those ticks. But I guess it's hit or miss. Some of you guys said there's hardly any ticks in your area, lower than normal, and others said it's a lot more. One tick bite can change your life. Well, it looks like that's what they're going for. They're trying to change us with ticks. It's a Bill Gates conspiracy. I believe it. Now, there's a lot of propaganda out on it. I don't know what the truth is. Some areas, again, you guys say there's more ticks than normal. Others, not so much. But Midwest apparently is pretty bad in a lot of places. I know the places I'm accustomed to are usually, you know, in the South. And places like Michigan can be bad depending on the woods, so on and so forth. What's up, Kitty Waffy? She says they want us to eat bugs. True. Morning Star, the one. Shalom Goyim. What's going on, NoDak88? But we are live on Odyssey. We're live on YouTube. And I probably will add Axe officially on Wednesday. I didn't have time to mess with it today. But we'll have the all up and running on X. Should be intriguing. Happy May Long. What's up, Blue Nose? Colonizer Grindset says we have a tick problem. And he's got ticks in brackets. Well, you could look at it that way. But nonetheless, just updating you guys. I heard you. You know, the tick situation is hit or miss. But I remember it was always really bad in places like Tennessee and Kentucky. Now, there was a big female fight. I'm not the biggest fan of female fights. In fact, I'm not a fan at all. This one was kind of a joke. What's up, Aaron White? Hopefully Aaron White's doing okay. Rousey versus Carano. And this was over with before it ever began. This is the shortest fight ever. So they made a lot of money, jumped in a ring for a few seconds, and then boom, both can retire rich, I guess. I don't know. How much money do they make, guys? You guys know?
Oh, immediately, Rousey takes Carano down, but Carano looking for the guillotine. And Rousey pops her head out in full mouth, ground and pound. Rousey looking for the arm, and already the arm, it's over. Mamma mia, it is just incredible. The most devastating finish in MMA history. And Ronda Rousey just took another arm hostage. And just like that, it's over.
One of the most explosive grapplers I've ever seen fight.
Okay, so that fight lasted a few seconds. It was done. It's kind of a joke. But I guess it was a good payday, right? Are they trannies? I think they're both straight, I think. I don't know. Rousey, she's been around a long time. Gina Carano, maybe she's a lesbian. I don't know. I just don't know. Don't know anything about them. I know she was in, like, Star Wars. What's the Star Wars film with Boba Fett? The remake with Boba Fett? You guys remember that? She's in that, right? Or do I have it wrong? I don't know. I just don't know. Yeah, I'm guessing two ticks on me and two on my dog this morning. Okay, so Aaron White's getting some in the Midwest, too. Depends on if you're near the woods, it's bad. But they're saying it's bad in the cities. Someone wrote in, it's bad in cities around me. Intriguing. But nonetheless, hopefully you guys don't watch women's fighting. The Mandalorian, thank you. Now, speaking of women getting knocked in the head, this chubby-looking Asian girl out there in, what is it, T-Mobile Park watching San Padres, and I'm guessing this is San Diego Padres home field, T-Mobile Park. I don't remember it being this new, but what do I know? I don't watch baseball. Well, let's see here. What a cracking of the skull by a foul ball by the Padres. This is Padres versus the Mariners, and this is a foul ball hitting this girl in the head. Check this out. Apparently, it cracked her skull. Smack. And it did crack her skull. Back, gone. It's a famous announcer, Ernie Harwell, for Detroit Tigers. Yeah. I don't know if she had to have surgery. I don't know much more than that. Obviously, it had to hurt. It had to leave a mark. You know? Gina is not a lesbian. Okay. Oh. Not even Ronda's fastest win? Really? She's had faster wins than that? She had a big head. She'll be okay. I had a feeling she's hurting pretty bad. So Elon Musk says we won't need money in the near future. Oh, we're going toward digital communism, guys. Run by Lucifer. Something to look forward to, right?
So do you think the value of money is going to significantly decrease? Will we go post-capitalist?
Yeah, I think money will stop being relevant at some point in the future.
So just as you're becoming...
It's probably something like an in-banks culture sort of future. And I think the AI down the road will really not use... human currency. It will just care about power and mass, wattage and tonnage.
It's kind of ironic then, right? Just as you're becoming a multi-trillionaire, money starts to have less value.
Yeah, pretty much.
So do you think the value of...
Okay, the value of money. So AI is going to be like a trillionaire. It's not going to need much money. Not really going to think about money too much. She looks like a fat beaner. She could be an Asian beaner. There's a lot of mixing. That ball is our guy. Chad is being ruthless. So what do you guys think? AI going to take care of us? Speaking of that, check out this tranny. Transgender pedo witch. Who filmed his own 7-year-old daughter demands to conduct nude Wiccan rituals in New Jersey women's prison. Never mind the fact that it wasn't just given the death sentence and being done away with, but it's actually in a women's prison and wants to do, and probably will be able to, this tranny's probably going to be able to do nude Wiccan rituals in a New Jersey prison. Check out that face. That's a face only a mother could love. And I doubt a mother even would love it. I'm like happy to be in women's prison, right? They'll let them do the equality. Well, it's more at it. Well, some are more equal than others. A tranny in women's prison is top of the food chain. He could beat the shit out of most of the black women, if not all of them. Most men can. Well, you never know. If the mother is drunk, maybe. Yeah, he's got some psycho eyes. Looks like he's on a few things. Well, trans pedo, so he's got to be on all kinds of things, right? But anyways, let's see here. Subversion Stopper. I do appreciate the XMR chat, by the way. Good to have you on XMR chat. I see you recognize the need for crypto. Yeah, there's a whole entire list of crypto, but XMR chat works easy and it's hooked up. I would go with other crypto chats too. They don't work as good as this one. If you guys are going to use anything, I assume you're going to use XMR, although you guys do send other cryptos. I see you recognize the need for crypto, especially with Entropy robbing everyone. Well, Entropy had a Canadian problem because they kept that Canadian company. And that Canadian problem, I don't think they formally robbed anyone just yet, although maybe they stopped returning emails or something. But let me continue reading it, and I'll explain to you what I think is going on with Entropy. The only solution is money that cannot be seized, the Bitcoin, Monero. We have a Bitcoin anonymizer on the site. That's why I don't hook up. If there was a Bitcoin anonymizer super chat, that would be kind of cool. But we got it on the site. By the way, if you talk to JFG, you mean Garapi, please tell him to use XMR chat. I can send him a DM if you want me to. But anyways, I do appreciate it over there on... over there on XMR chat, and you guys can send to that 24/7. I'll read it next show, but that's what it's there for. I do appreciate you guys sending stuff in on it. And but Entropy basically had a Canadian corporation and moved all the banking and everything offshore, but they kept the Canadian corporation. Why? I don't know. They probably weren't thinking things through. The problem with the Canadian government is that you might remember what happened to DLive. Let's go back into DLive real quick. After J6, DLive was targeted for, quote unquote, they were threatened with funding terrorism and all kinds of things like that. Well, those were just threats, but it was enough to make them shut down a bunch of channels and all kinds of different things, right? Well, something like that is happening to Entropy vis-a-vis Canadian authorities, because Canadian authorities have ruthless laws on the books over hate, funding hate, neo-Nazis, terrorism, and we're all terrorists. Anything white that speaks up is a terrorist. So they're sitting with a Canadian corporation operating through offshore banks and doing that type of thing. And it isn't so much the Entropy per se, I'm guessing it's the Canadian authorities. And what they can do is they can hold them up at the banks and hold up their money, because what they have to do is get new banking. Then they've got to transfer that, because all their different banks got shut down and their processors got shut down. Everything got shut down. They went into different countries. They sent journalists and all kinds of different people into different countries, threatening people. And then you have the Canadian authorities and you have a Canadian corporation that owns those accounts. So you got all kinds of nasty stuff that could occur as a result of the Canadian laws. Now, the reason I think Entropy wants to return the money is because Entropy is going to be forming a new corporation and new stuff completely offshore, which I thought they had already done a couple years back because everything else was offshore. And when they do that, they're going to come back out with a new business model. But if they don't give people their monies back, that business model is cooked. So where's the money? My opinion, that money is being held up in Canadian institutions. You see, when you get an account shut down, which I don't know how many of you guys have experienced, but the last time I got an account shut down with a processor or a bank or all of the above, it typically, you're not getting that money right away. They will hold up that money for quite a while, depending on the department that has it, depending on who wants to fuck with you. As you can imagine, if let me give you an example. If Chase Manhattan closes your bank account, it may be a couple months for you to get it. It may be a few weeks. You don't have access to your money with an account shut down. That's the problem. And that, in my opinion, is what's happened to Entropy. They're trying to get the money. They're talking to lawyers, and they're getting threatened and threatened and threatened. And then they think the money's coming, and it probably isn't. Now, I'm speculating, but I've been through this before. I've never been through it with Canadian authorities, but Canadian authorities would be X10. They'd be 10 times worse because they got crazy-ass laws on the books. And those crazy-ass laws, although they can't put Nick Fuentes, who's the big streamer, Gypsy Crusader, who wasn't using Entropy, right? And so although those laws don't necessarily apply to Nick Fuentes or the Gypsy Crusaders or name it, any of those guys using Entropy, they are going to apply to that Canadian fucking corporation. Now, what are they threatening them with? I'm guessing it's sort of like a DLive situation. I mean, they had to shut it down. The challenge is getting that money and distributing the money. And I have a feeling that that's proving harder. It's just time consuming. I mean, can they hold it up a month? Oh, yeah. We've seen them hold up money under shutdown accounts for 3 months, 4 months. They can do some crazy shit. I've seen shutdowns personally where, I mean, I'm still owed money. It just happens because there's other fees involved. You know, there could be, maybe they're hitting them with other fees. Who in the hell knows? Then there's going to be attorney fees because they're definitely accusing them of like funding potential terrorism and potential violations of Canadian laws. Because again, unlike America, when I have an account shut down, it's just for terms of service and we don't allow hate. In Canada, it's the same thing, but that is criminal activity in Canada. So that's a problem that Entropy hasn't really went into. Now, I guess some people think that they took the money and ran away. I honestly, from my conversations with them, they know how to do this, and they can easily form another company and over a period of time put together even a better business offshore. I mean, I know that for a fact. So I don't know why they'd want to shoot themselves in the head because they got a pretty good business model. Now, 15% is kind of high. They might have to cut it back to 10%, but that's still going to be pretty good for them, for a small team. The problem is that Canadian corporation and the Canadian government and those Canadian institutions, that's the problem. Now, I guess they could take the money and run, but they're, you know, that's only going to last so long. I mean, it's not like some kind of multi-million dollar fortune. Thousands of dollars, sure. Maybe six figures, sure. But that's still not going to last that long. It's much better to bring out another business model and return the money. So the only logical explanation is they're getting hit like DLive, except the, under the Canadian law, it's criminal, potentially. And they've got all kinds of problems. They would destroy their integrity if they cut and run. Yeah, they want to return the money. They want to now. They made another mistake in Discord or wherever it was, where they said they were going to PayPal. You should have said crypto. You should have never said anything about PayPal. Yeah, because I would never. I mean, have them send it to you crypto. You don't want to mess around with that Canadian government. Crypto's one thing, and but PayPal, oh my God. But anyways, that's my opinion. I don't know that for a fact, but I'd be willing to bet on that. Because I've been through this too many times where money was held up for a month, 6 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months, where they let out part of the money, then they let out another part. Getting bank accounts shut down is a pain in the ass because you don't have access to your money. And if the people there are pissed off, or if the Canadian government's leaning on a department, which again, the ADL equivalent of Canada is got way more power than anything you can imagine. So that is the problem with Entropy, in my opinion. That is the challenge, is the Canadian government and how they were shut down. Now, of course, they could run away with the money, but based on what they told me they were doing, it makes no sense at all from a particular business standpoint, because they could, again, no one's going to process super chats for Nick Fuentes. So even at 10%, you know, he's processing $1 million or whatever it was, $900,000. That's 90 grand. So let's assume that they have six figures, a couple hundred thousand that they owe people, or three. At most, maybe $300,000 or $400,000 that they owe people. I'd be surprised if more than $500,000. That ain't going to last that long. Now, are they getting hit with all kinds of extra fees? Is there all kinds of lawyer? That's going to be the problem. Are they being threatened with jail time? Probably. I mean, DLive was, and you're dealing with the free speech of America. Canada doesn't have free speech. Canada has ruthless hate speech laws. Absolutely frigging ruthless. And basically, Entropy, that Canadian corporation working through offshore banks, was allowing known quote-unquote terrorists, you know, to get super chats. So that's the challenge. I know it sucks. I mean, they owe me money. I'm spread out because after Odyssey, I mean, sometimes you just can't be spread out. Sometimes you get sucked into one processor and you're just screwed. But I, from what they were telling me, and I've known them before even they came into business, I did Google Meets with them and talked to them about the different problems in this business and everything else. And I went back and forth with them several times over the years, and I've never seen them wanting to steal. Now, the most I've ever seen them go without paying someone was like 90 days. They had a big switchover, and it took me 90 days to get money from them before, and that was a chunk of change. But these days, they do owe me money, but it's not much. It's not much compared to others. In fact, it might be insignificant compared to others, but, you know, whatever. I've seen this so many times, though. But that mistake was keeping that Canadian corporation, not shutting that down and moving, getting an offshore corporation or something. But I'm guessing there's reasons, convenience and whatnot, for that Canadian corporation, but you just don't have, you know. This was a sudden thing, or was it warning that could happen? Well, there was a silence against Entropy for a couple years, and the Canadian authorities and all these journalists and the Canadian version of the ADL and all these people up there that make six figures, that's all they were doing, is researching how to fuck over Entropy and to hold up all their money forever. And they can cause problems. Now, they might have a problem holding the money indefinitely, but it hasn't been but, what, 3 or 4 months. And the reason Entropy, the frustration is Entropy's saying the money's coming because they probably think the money is coming. I mean, just to be honest with you, they probably think, well, they'll send it out to the bank tomorrow. But, you know, then it gets held up. And I've seen various different banks and processing institutions in America with shutdown accounts. I have seen people at those, what is it called? When account gets shut down, it goes to a particular, well, every company, I guess, is different. It goes to a particular office, and that office has at PayPal, let's say a PayPal gets shut down, it goes through a particular process for that money to be sent back, and they can really have historically really messed with our people, meaning someone who's openly pro-white or someone whatever. Right, and then, of course, with Trump, it expanded to anything right wing. So no, it can take a lot longer than you think, because I mean, 90 days. I've seen it take 90 days or more, 100 days on stuff for me with Free Speech America. So you're talking Canada? You're talking those crazy laws? Who knows? But I would imagine the last thing they want to do is not be in business, because they have a lucrative business model of 15%. You know, I had Entropy on the site if you wanted to send in subs after my last processor went down. I had Entropy on the site, but I switched to PowerChat simply because PowerChat pays out every 2 weeks, which means you can't get into them too much. The challenge with Entropy is they pay out once a month, but they are completely offshore. I don't like being paid out once a month. You just get too much money into an organization. So PowerChat's every 2 weeks. Now, there's probably things I don't like about PowerChat, but they don't bother me. There's things you're going to like about any particular processor until we get, you know, the baby Jesus processor or the Odin processor or the Zeus processor. But we're not running no banks, so there. Is what it is. But nonetheless, none of them are perfect. But PowerChat at 7% and processing every 2 weeks, or crypto, you know, it's much, much better than Entropy at 15%. So But nonetheless, there's a lot of guys that that's all they could use. I think it's shitty for someone to get in between two people doing an exchange. Well, they're a middleman, and someone's got to run the tech, and someone's got to run the code. It's a lot of work. Who runs PowerChat? It was originally started by Groypers and some famous guys that sold it off, and there was controversy and all that. It's like any of these companies. None of them are perfect, but nonetheless, they work for the time being. I don't know when they're going to go down, you know. Buy Me a Coffee is another one I can use at the moment, but I wouldn't hook it up to the website or anything like that. So, but PowerChat's one of those companies that has grown and grown and grown and grown for a reason. But there's also going to face a lot of competition. As they face competition, they brought their fees down. So, which is cool. Melton runs one. What's Melton? Yeah, there's all kinds of different Super Chat companies. But at any given time, I've had a problem with more than one. So, sounds like they owe Devin a big chunk. Well, they owe a lot of people a big chunk. And people aren't... I don't know that Entropy can really communicate what's going on, for legal reasons, maybe. And I'm guessing. And second, they probably think the money's going to be in their account any given day, and it just hasn't hit yet, or it's hitting in sections. They're trying to figure out how to pay people out. Could be. But they said PayPal and BTC and whatnot, you know. It's a problem. It's a problem. But, you know, as well as P.O. Box, send to P.O. Boxes, that's another, you know, you guys do all the above. So, yeah, but Entropy, that's the situation, in my opinion. It's the Canadian government more than anything. Mersh uses it. Hunchback. Yeah, there's nothing, there's several of them out there and many more coming, you know. Unless you are a Canadian dissident, it's hard to comprehend the power international jewelry holds over Canada. It's much worse than the U.S. Yeah, people just want their money. And Entropy's telling people that the money's coming because they probably think it legitimately is. They've been through some shutdowns, but they've never been through anything like this. They've never really been accused of funding terrorism and government investigations going on their asses. Plus, the laws are much tougher right now than they were. You know, Canada keeps passing new laws, right? And I think all those things had an effect. Now, I don't know 100%. I'm guessing, but I'm guessing based on a lot of experience. But I have no experience with Canada. Canadian shutdowns are going to be way worse than anything in America because they can hold it up longer. The laws are ruthless. You know, basically funding terrorism, and we're basically legitimately under the law terrorists up there. In America, we can be considered terrorists. It just depends. But in Canada, it's not you can be considered terrorists. It's like you are a terrorist. You know? I think it's called super tips. Yeah, I don't know. Send in a link. Look it up and send in a link to my particular email if you got a minute. And I will look at it. We're always looking to add more different payments. Let's get this crazy tranny off the screen. Swatch has to close some stores after riots break out to buy a plastic watch on a lanyard that isn't even a limited edition. Is Swatch that big of a deal? What's going on with Swatch? I remember Swatch when I was a kid. I didn't know Swatch was still a thing. Oh, Piaget. Okay, so you got some kind of limited edition Swatch coming out with some famous watch company? That's crazy. All right. Oh, this is wild. We got a world record surfer coming out. I guess, you know, the question is always, where do you guys send in super chats on other shows? That's always the question. You know, most guys got used to using Entropy, but like I said, you know. Squatch collaborations are a huge deal. Well, that was with Piaget. Piaget, or however it's pronounced. Oh, there's no music to this. Look at those swells. 26-meter wave? It's just stupid. It's a little dangerous. Is it Wolf Surker? No. A little bit too big for him, I think. Look at this. Here we go. Holy shit. The board is just skipping. He has to be going like 70 miles an hour or something, 60 miles an hour. Wow, that's just crazy. Yeah, that is in Portugal. Some white power surfing right there. Yeah, Sebastian Studner, something like that. It's a giant wave surfer. 26 meters. It's a skyscraper. I don't know. What is the biggest wave Wolf Surker has surfed? We do have surfers that watch this that can surf some big waves that are from places like California. In Northern California, Southern California, where you can get some, especially in Northern California, we can get some big swells. Global Chat might be a surfer as well. I don't know. Don't know if there's any surf where he's from, but he is. Could be one, though. Those guys are insane. Well, they're athletes. You know? Here we go. 27-year-old man from India was reportedly killed in a rare fatal bear attack in northern Saskatchewan. Yeah, these bears, he was probably dumping his trash out in the forest, and the bear said, "Get the fuck out of here." And he got in an argument, and the bear kicked his ass and did away with him. Maybe the bear was attracted to the smell. I don't know. Yeah, India, expats in Canada. Bear attack. I don't know what kind of bear it was. We would assume a grizzly, but they have other bears up there as well. And big black bear can do number. Bear should have a medal. The bear probably took the smell for a threat. Definitely going to smell. Those Indians are definitely going to smell different than their white bread Canadian settlers. You know? The wedge in Newport Beach has 15-foot waves sometimes. 15-foot wave is... I'll do you in. What is the big waves in Hawaii? There's a lot of those California guys that surf Hawaii as well, or have surfed Hawaii. And Hawaii has some giant waves as well, depending time of the year, I guess. I've never been to Hawaii, so I don't know. Don't feed the bears unless it's Jeets. Might be a new rule. You thinking of new rules, Aaron White? Here we got a guy. Got some guy who is very ghettoized. Is he Jewish?
So this white mom posted Happy Mother's Day with her black son. Thank you for picking me to be your mama. And everybody in the comments decided to be racist. So I decided to expose them for who they are. 1,000 years of pure European genetics gone forever. When I tell you I dug into this person, you better get your popcorn ready. And you guys know me. Sometimes the comment is just too easy. I want the ones who are hidden, the ones who liked it. Drum roll, please. Wait, pause. No, rewind it back. Rewind it back.
Let's get. I wonder if he works for the ADL.
The second guy. Everybody meet Anthony. See, Anthony went to Louisville where he was a male cheerleader. Wait. Is that black people in your
school? It never said he ate them. It just said it killed them.
What? I mean, your man's right behind you, cheering you on. But it gets better. It gets better because Anthony has a really good friend. This guy. Now, DeVay is a bodybuilder. I hope I said your name right. And his parents.
Oh, you got a white mother and a black daddy. But you like this comment. But your friend is... Oh, my God.
Love you, big brother. Love you, too, big man.
You couldn't even say brother? What? And you like this comment?
But it gets better. It gets better because...
Maybe he just became racist last week. Maybe he's becoming aware.
Anthony...
This guy's a coal burner?
The cop.
You solemnly swear that I will support.
I solemnly swear that I will prejudge.
Oh, I didn't know this.
All black people, even though I'm supposed to protect all Americans.
The Constitution and laws of the United States of America.
The Constitution of America that said all men are created equal except for black people.
And I will faithfully and impartially discharge.
And I faithfully will discharge my weapon towards all black people, even when they don't have one.
I will go out to this moment.
I hope you have the day you deserve, Anthony.
Yeah, well, who's paying this guy? Other than social media. So apparently this guy's married to a black woman or something. Now we have some high-trust society. Let's check out this high-trust society a black man encounters.
Man, this shit crazy, man. I'm out here with, you know, in the white people area, out here in Torrance.
Yeah, out here in the white people area.
And the motherfucker ain't even in here. No security or nothing. But I say that to say this shit would never happen in no nigga area. Look at, man, the chips is all out here, man. Ain't nothing locked up. Look at this shit. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, man. We in Torrance, California. In Torrance, California. Just trust me, in Compton, anywhere in South Central, this shit is put up. Most definitely. Bro. Crazy, man. And then they got the firewood over here. Never mind that, they got the firewood. Man, this shit crazy, man. I'm out here with, you know, in the white people area, out here in Torrance. Man, the motherfucker ain't even in here. No security or nothing. But I say that. To say this shit would never happen in no nigga area. Look at
you. What's he doing in Torrance is what I want to know. Now, this is a raccoon taking on 5 coyotes, which you might have to do one day. This is a good metaphor for the average white man or woman. This little raccoon who kicked the shit out of some coyotes. Yeah, Torrance is not bad, but it's pretty ghetto. Well, apparently, it's not black. Or it's not black enough yet. Wow, that raccoon had a hold of that coyote and was kicking his ass. They fear the bites of that little guy. He's tearing the shit out of the coyote on the right. There's some little animals that are extremely aggressive. In northern Michigan, they have wolverines. And most things go out of their way not to fuck with a wolverine. They are ruthless, pound for pound. They find bears that have been killed by wolverines. They do not mess around. Yeah, well, that's a raccoon. But a wolverine? Wolves stay wide and clear. There's all kinds of stories of, like, a moose dying. Or maybe a hunter shot a moose, didn't get it, and next thing you know, a wolverine's on it. And so there's all these predators that come up, and I don't really mess with the wolverine. Coyotes are dope. You got a pet one? You ever pet a coyote? It's a lot. That is a lot of coyotes to have in someone's backyard. It looks like some kind of barbecue pit in the backyard, and a nice backyard, too. It's 5 coyotes and a raccoon. Yeah, raccoons are mischievous. You'll like them until they get in your garage and tear the shit out of things. Or maybe they'll get into an RV and just total it out. They're pretty destructive little guys. But they can be mean, too. Especially when they're fighting for their lives. Now, speaking of fighting for your life, rural indigenous communities have surrounded Evo Morales' residence to protect him. Leaked documents below show U.S. Armed Forces and Bolivian police preparing a joint operation to kidnap him and massacre villages. Wow. Trump's going to be prosecuting more South American dignitaries. By the way, the head of Cuba is supposed to be on the docket. Talking about going in and getting the head of Cuba like they did in Venezuela. Raccoons are vicious as hell and their teeth are like little needles. Yeah, those coyotes didn't really like getting bit by them. Raccoon family out in our yard just a bit ago. I feel bad. Zog is destroying all the forest around my mountain town, leaving them nowhere to go. Yeah, there should be a place for all the little wild animals. Coyotes are too numerous in my state, and you can pretty much hunt them because they're trying to get rid of a bunch of them. Coyotes in good numbers do enormous damage to ungulate, which are deer populations, because they really hunt the calves, the little ones, and they can hunt them to death very quickly. Hunt a deer population down if they get too numerous. So there's really no check and balance on coyotes in a lot of places in the country, and you do have to thin the herd somehow, some way. They damage rabbit populations, they damage bird populations, but they really damage small deers when they're babies. It's where they really do a number.
Porque compañeros, si en caso que hoy vamos a bajar, de aquí un tiempo nuestros hijos, nuestros... compañeros,
these are like human shields for Evo Morales.
Van a estar, ¿cómo van a estar? Por eso hay que seguir masificando, hermanos. Muchísimas gracias, compañeras y compañeros.
¡Que viva nuestro hermano Evo Morales Ayma!
¡Que viva!
¡Que viva las organizaciones sociales!
¡Que viva!
¡Que viva! Okay, I don't think they're going to last very long against U.S. Special Forces. This is dicey. Five Italians, including a mother and daughter, lost their lives at the depth of the abyss of the Maldives. Maldives? So they're 160 feet down exploring some kind of cave. And they all died. 160 feet down exploring a cave. I don't know. It's a rough way to go. Drowning? Tough. Exploring caves 160 feet below the water? You can. It's not something I'd want to do. It's kind of an interesting story. I didn't know Winston Churchill was depressed. Winston Churchill fought his depression with bricklaying. He lay them for hours at the country house in Kent. He joined the Bricklayers Union, and in 1921, he wrote about why it worked. It took psychology another 75 years to get up. He called depression the black dog. It followed him for decades. His method of fighting back was as basic as it gets, laying brick after brick, hour after hour. Fascinating stuff. So one of his cures for depression was laying bricks. Manual labor. I wonder if manual laborers are less likely to be depressed than people work in offices. I've never seen a study on that. Maybe there is. Yeah, I don't like Churchill either, but this kind of surprised me because I didn't know he was depressed, and I didn't know he cured his depression or alleviated it because it obviously didn't bother him too much or it didn't seemingly affect his performance, for the Jews at least. I think he was part Jewish actually, right? So he was on that team. But what he did do quite well is lay a lot of bricks, which I did not know. So are you guys suffering from depression? Maybe. Some type of craft like this will help. It's kind of interesting. There's a Harvard Gazette. Who joined the Nazi Party? They're talking about the German Nazi Party, not the one in your local neighborhood. Ordinary men were at the heart of the genocidal movement as it grew. Just ordinary German guys. They don't give a lot of whys, though. Things about evil Nazis, but no one says why. You know, Nazis functionaries tracked information about members' ages. Just ordinary Germans. They're always worried about the ordinary man and woman getting pissed off. Freemasonry? No, he's talking about actual bricklaying. But that's a good joke. It's a good joke. Work shall set you free. Well, it's good to have a hobby, whether it be gardening or something like that, if you work in an office too much. So depression, you know, the essay they go on to talk about where he talks about the tired brain, a thinking brain where you're just doing all this thinking on the job and stuff like that, can get tired, you know. Yeah, they always leave that out, that Judea declared war on Germany. They leave that one out. Why would Harvard leave that out, right? So we got an update from the Free Expression Foundation on a few of their cases. Jacobs versus Caitlin, federal court, Northern District of Georgia. This is about putting out flyers. Georgia state prosecutors, after long delays, took initial steps to prosecute Jacobson State Court on the bogus littering charges. In April 2026, Randy Shepard, on behalf of Jacobs, filed and argued a motion to dismiss the littering charges against Jacobs on the grounds of political flyers in question were not litter as defined by the relevant Georgia statute. The Georgia State Trial Court has taken the motion under advisement and promised will soon issue a decision. Signs versus Nathan D'Amigo, who's a friend of mine, known him for years. Nathan is a very good guy. Nathan D'Amigo was among numerous defendants subjected to a jury verdict that awarded over $3 million to the plaintiffs in Signs versus Kessler. The huge damages award was legally dubious as to all defendants, but especially as to Mr. D'Amigo, who had been found liable by the jury on only one count. Okay, hold on here. Mr. D'Amigo filed for bankruptcy. That was back in 2019. That seems like an eternity ago, 7 years ago. Glenn Allen entered a case for D'Amigo at the bankruptcy court seeking to defend and protect D'Amigo's right to discharge the Signs versus Kessler jury award. After extensive summary judgment briefing and hearing, the bankruptcy court ruled for Signs versus Kessler plaintiffs, holding D'Amigo had supposedly inflicted a willful and malicious injury and was not dischargeable. Mr. Allen has now filed an appeal to the district court on Mr. D'Amigo's behalf, submitted on April 24, 2026, a lengthy brief and appendix, 447 pages, 34-page brief. Woo. In support of the appeal, the attorneys for Signs versus Kessler plaintiffs will file their opposition brief before May 25th. Okay. This is kind of interesting. So basically, we've got some ongoing cases. We'll have to see what's going on with those. Hopefully, D'Amigo gets that dismissed or something happens. Kessler? No, that's... This isn't Kessler's case. This is Nathan D'Amigo. Signs versus Kessler. Yes. Yes. He's in there. If that's what you meant. But no, EFF is not defending Jason Kessler, defending Nathan D'Amigo. We were going to watch this. Maybe I'll watch it Wednesday. I was interested in what they say about the woke right. Keith Woods is talking about the woke right here. Well,
full Zionism. Yeah, and Kissin and James Lindsay are the two people that were heard as pushing the term woke right. I'm not sure. It was one of the two of them that first coined it. It may have been Lindsay that coined it, but it may actually have been Kissin. I'm not sure about
Kissin was really...
Yeah, I guess on that topic of the podcast scene that emerged through COVID, there has been an establishment version of the slop, right? There was a backlash to woke.
This is called slopulism instead of populism, slopulism.
Wokeism. It was becoming evident that this was significant electorally. It ended up helping Trump majorly in 2024. It was becoming clear to establishment voices, I think the more intelligent ones, that the excess of censorship.
Okay. So excessive censorship, the establishment got involved in the podcast scene. Yeah. Okay. Let's go in the woke right.
Full Zionism.
Yeah, and Kissin and James Lindsay are the two people that were heard as pushing the term woke right. I'm not sure, it was one of the two of them that first coined it. It may have been Lindsay that coined it, but it may actually have been Kissin. I'm not sure about
Kissin
that.
Kissin was really pushing it hard, I remember.
But they were definitely the two that pushed it the hardest. And
Lindsay thought it up. It was Lindsay was the one getting credit for it.
And basically, woke right was to apply to nationalists or people on the right that were in any ways okay with identitarianism for Europeans or for white people, or as they saw it, went too far in the immigration issue, or basically any right winger that was critical of Israel. Like Tucker Carlson is woke right now.
Tucker Carlson is woke right. Hold on here. Let's see what we got coming in here. We got Floody Flood. Check this out. How are you? This is my content that keeps getting banned now forever in archive. Oh, wow. Okay. This is your, the AI stuff? AI stuff? Okay. AI audiobooks. Let's see what's Flood up to now. What is Flood doing now? Flood's always up to something. AI has come a long ways just in the past 3 months. Let's see what this is. Oh, wow. Okay, so you got it up on archive.org. You know, there's some alt-right bands, parody bands and whatnot, that are still up on archive.org. This is Adolf Hitler, A Law of the Jews Becomes a Law of the Land, Dusseldorf, okay. Adolf Hitler commemorates the pulse, the push. Okay, so it's all the Hitler speeches. How many of these have you done? Holy shit. Look at all these. George Lincoln Rockwell. These are all AI too, right? Or are these some of them just historic speeches? This is Irving's and Goebel. Jeez, it's got Hitler's book. Holy cow. Flood Show audiobooks. Intriguing. I wonder... I've never seen anything get taken down from there, Flood. So, we'll see. I could be wrong. There could be someone out. If anyone out there has had anything taken down by audiobooks, I'm sorry, archive.org, let me know. I'm curious. I've never seen any of our guys have stuff taken down. All those particular alt-right parody songs are up on archive, and I've never seen any of them get taken down. A Blink 1488. Remember that band? They're up there. Did you guys ever hear that pop singer? Blink 1488?
Tucker Carlson is not a white identitarian. He explicitly rejects white identitarianism. He, professes kind of classical liberal American values, but he's very critical of American support for Israel, so that makes him woke right. So, they portray...
I don't remember them. I mean, the ones I have bookmarked, I'm looking at, have not been deleted.
This woke right is like, it's people on the right that are just like the woke left because they're also identitarians and they use bullying tactics and they see the world through the suppressor oppressed lens, right? All those nonsense terms they have to describe it. But I mean, it just comes down to people that take an anti-Zionist or identitarian stance. And then, of course, you break it down and every single person... Two man that uses this term is a fervent Zionist that supports identity politics for Jews. I mean, it's just so clear the contradiction.
It's almost as if they're in the same group chat being directed by probably state officials.
Now, they did take down the famous Stop White Genocide video from back in the day that did so many millions of views. It looks like they took that one down. Okay. Let me see here. No, they didn't. They did not take that down. So I don't see them, but I mean, sometimes it's hard to find stuff on there. You got to know exactly what you're looking for.
There's evidence of that from elsewhere. These influencers being approached, offered money to shill for Israel. It's even been said about big account news accounts on X as well. So. As I say, it's a financial decision for the power of the Israeli state.
Yeah, and like you said, the return when Israel is thinking about media narratives in the West, I mean, it's potentially about their survival as a state, right? So what value do you put on that, right? And of course, we've seen a huge expansion in many ways of Zionist influence in the media, in the establishment media, in the last couple of years. You know, at the same time, of course, the narrative has really turned against Israel. Public opinion has turned, especially among young people. TikTok.
See how this podcast is doing. This is Chief Keefe over there making this for Europa, which is a very broad news collator you guys might want to check out if you want breaking news. They can find, I guess the difference between it and other news collators, it can go right out the window, and it might contain more social media stuff. What's up, Galaxy Wanderer? And all you guys over there on YouTube. Let's pull up some more links here, but there's Chief Keefe. Kind of an interesting podcast. Looks like it has 40,000 views on X, which X would be a very interesting live streaming platform. Now, apparently, they censor the shit out of comments. I will be live streaming there, I guess, maybe Wednesday. But apparently, they censor comments like YouTube, which is actually probably, you know, there's upsides and downsides because of how X operates and all the different spammers and stuff like that. They're probably trying to get around that, but it would have a viable live streaming ability, potentially. But it's hard to say. Let me go on and see what I have here. Let me figure this out. Okay, let's cruise through some stuff. Then I'm going to take a break for a couple minutes. Get some more water. Call it white genocide. Others are stricter countries with speech laws or more PC and call it white replacement. Yeah. Yeah, some countries, the laws are crazy. Absolutely nuts. Let's see what this guy's saying here.
Next time. Jews are not white.
Next time, folks.
I can't believe you believe these statistics, bro.
But do you agree with me that white genocide is real?
White genocide is real. And yes, I do believe white genocide is real because genocide is real. So white genocide, black genocide, there's genocide happening in many parts of the country.
What's it doing? Okay, it's just a short clip. All right, white genocide coming up. I don't know the context of this. I don't even know who this is. Who is this guy? Doing interview. Dan Bilzerian is not pro-white. True. I don't know if it's going to let me play. Oh. Yeah, Instagram is
You know, like you should take pride in like things that you've done or you know, whatever.
Instagram clips
like
are the worst.
You're asleep on the race question. Dual citizen Dan Bilzerian is the most fantastic thing he's ever heard. The Jewish cloth, he's getting ready to put on the tefillin, it looks like.
No, that's Muslim stuff.
Oh, Muslim.
Okay, so you're talking about Dan Bilzerian. I don't know what that is. But Instagram clips, not good. Not good if you don't have an Instagram account, and I don't. Let's check out some scenery here. Of course, if you're 8,800 meters in the air, up a mountain, up Mount Everest, why not just take out your drone and fly it around? That guy is anti-woman propaganda, or okay. All right. X needs super chats. Yeah, I mean, you'd think they would do something, but they don't. There's probably a reason for it. Get up to the top of the mountain just to let out your drone and cruise around. That's a very white thing to do. Woman Propaganda is his name. Wow, what a handle. And he's got an oxygen mask. I can see why. This is kind of interesting. During the Seattle area prohibition, American bootleggers needed to dodge the police, so they invented heifer heels. These shoes made them resemble cows when they were moving through the field, preventing the cops from tracking their footprints. Check this out. They had bootmakers put those on their shoes, these particular heels, so when they walked, they looked like cows. They left cow footprints in the across the fields. Those guys all dressed to the nines back in the day. Super dressed up out bootlegging. There you go. Hold on here. Dan Bilzerian versus Bill Maher. You know Bill Maher is going to be after him. Dan Bilzerian's anti-Zionist for sure. Definitely anti-Semitic. Let's listen to what he has to say here.
Who's Dan Bilzerian? Well, he's a professional douchebag who's attracted 30 million followers by doing this all day and posting it. Yes, he'll fit in fine with the current Congress.
Well, I don't think Dan's gay.
Who's Dan?
Okay, there's not much to that. It's not that funny. But speaking of Zionism, Thomas Massie, of course, if Massie loses, this is Al Jazeera. Every Congress member will be cowed into fear. If he wins, it's a new media era. All right, I agree with that. What's interesting about the Massie election, as you could guess, Massie's primary is the most expensive in American history. Yeah, it's going to be an expensive primary. The Jews are going all in to try to beat Massie. With all the anti-Israel sentiment rising, you would think he could win. Normally, you would think, 10 years ago, you guys toast. But it's definitely different. Yeah, Bilzerian is 12% Jewish. Bill Maher is what? His mother's Jewish? His father's Irish or something? I don't know. But this is one to watch. Pro-Israel groups have played a huge part. Yeah. The most expensive primary in history. All right. So we got some music for Foundering's got some music out here for, what is his name? It's just called Chimpin' Out. And he's singing about Chud the Builder. We're going to go into some Chud stuff here for a few minutes.
They up and chimpin', they finna chimp out. Hip hop and pimpin', they'll shift you from the crowds. Going to get triggered if nigger you shout. See how they always chimpin' out. Then John the Builder said, stop lying down. Don't let them kill you and take over your town. They'll slash your sister, then walk cause they brown. See how they always chip it out. Don't got much reason and a frontal cortex. Your mother is next. You resist, no racist. In California, they're welfaring around. See how they always chip it out. Just fellas, we all get to blues. It ain't black or white, we've been divided by Jews. Boy, they show us smarts and outs. Just see Calvary, cackle with glee. Your family trees, leaves Afro-Negro. Now California's spreading around. See how they always, see how they always, see how they always chimping out.
You got to give him an A for creativity. That's for sure. He's a funny guy. Absolutely hilarious. Oh. So they're going after Chud the Builder, who doesn't film his own stuff. This is the guy that films it right here. This young guy they're trying to go after is the guy that holds the gimbal and the camera, which I don't know. He's a young kid videotaping him when he harassed me. Uh-oh. All right. So they're going after this young guy that's Chud's videotaper here. Chud's assistant. All right. There you go. And lawyer breaks down Chud the Builder's case. I played this the other day, but let me do a rendition because, you know, we got more stuff coming in on it. He's got a $1.25 million bail, and they're trying to make bail. They got enough money to make bail, potentially. He's in protective custody, someone said. We don't know for sure, though. I would imagine he needs to be.
Here's a tweet that comes from a guy named Amir King. He's been kind of giving updates on this situation. I think him and Chud are friends. But here's what he said, and this was a couple of hours ago. Quote, Chud update. Here are some fun facts that you'll see developing. The entire exchange was live streamed on PumpFun. That's the streaming service I was telling you guys about before. The stream shut down at the first gunshot due to an automated AI response system. The stream is being subpoenaed. The facts according to over 100 witnesses watching the live stream. Chud told the guy, quote, I hope your day gets better. God bless, end quote. Then it goes, Chud had already walked away, was about 70 to 100 yards away. The man went out of his way to run up on Chud while his back was turned. He confronted Chud. He punched Chud in the face. Chud didn't instigate anything. Some of you are about to look absolutely stupid. Now, let's assume, you know, let's take our, I guess, his bias here, because obviously he's his friend. But let's assume that this fact pattern is correct, and this is what actually went down. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, that looks a lot better than some of the alternative fact patterns for sure. So let me give people the framework that I apply when I break down any use of force case or any case I'm working on. And I get paid a lot of money to do this. And you'll be surprised to know, maybe, that there's only five things you need for self-defense. It's very simple. It's like a child's jigsaw puzzle with five giant pieces. You know, it's not, the law's not complicated. And those five pieces are innocence, imminence, proportionality, avoidance, and reasonableness. That means innocence, you can have been the initial aggressor or the person who provoked the fight. If you do that, you lose innocence, you lose self-defense. And by the way, all these elements are required. If any one of them is missing, you don't have self-defense. Whatever you did, it was not lawful self-defense. So another way to think of these is each of these elements I'm talking about is a target of attack for the prosecutor. So a prosecutor who knows what he's doing, he gets that investigative report from the detectives and he's thinking to himself, all right, I have to be able to disprove one of these beyond a reasonable doubt, and then I win. And the reason he wins is, if you think about it, when you claim self-defense, like Chud the Builder is going to be claiming, you're not saying it wasn't me. You're not saying I have an alibi. I wasn't there. You're saying the opposite of that. You're saying it was me. I shot that guy, but I did it in self-defense. Well, the prosecutor knows if he can defeat one of those required five elements and self-defense goes away, the only thing that's left of I shot that guy, but it was self-defense is I shot that guy. It's just a confession. So the prosecutor is looking at these five elements to see which one looks vulnerable to being disproven beyond a reasonable doubt. If you were the initial aggressor or the provoker, you lose innocence, you lose self-defense.
Someone put up Chud's Give, Sing, Go. I forgot to grab that link. Grab that link, Kitten Waffen, or one of you guys. Put that link up in the chat so I can have at it.
This prosecutor knows that. The next is imminence. You have to be defending yourself against a threat that's either actually occurring in the moment or immediately about to occur. The fist is pulled back. The guy's reaching for a weapon. It can't be something that happened in the past. It can't be something that might happen in the future. Proportionality, and this could be a problem for Chud, is you can only use deadly defensive force if you're facing a deadly force threat. If you're only facing a non-deadly force threat, you can't use a gun to defend yourself against a non-deadly force threat. And usually, a punch is going to be considered a non-deadly force threat. So that could be an issue here. Avoidance is the fourth element. That has to do with whether or not you have a legal duty to retreat before you can defend yourself. Tennessee, like most states, is a stand-your-ground state. So in otherwise lawful self-defense, you don't have a legal duty to retreat. But what if the self-defense is not otherwise lawful? What if it has some other defect? Then you, even in Tennessee, you, which was one of the first stand your ground states, you can reacquire a legal duty to retreat. And then finally, reasonableness. And this is a broad target of attack because it just asks generally, would a reasonable and prudent person do what you did? And let's face it, anyone who's a social media provocateur is doing a lot of stuff that's kind of outside the Overton window and does not look reasonable to a normie jury. I mean, just imagine a typical juror in this, you know, little town in Tennessee.
Yep.
Most white people have been socially conditioned their whole lives to viscerally recoil if they were to see a white guy call a black guy the N-word to his face.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
They don't consider that normal. They don't consider that reasonable. So that could be an issue. Now, of course, we don't know that that happened here. But so what the prosecutor is looking for is, well, did if Chud provoked this fight, again, we don't know if that happened, but if it provoked the fight, that complicates Chud's claim of self-defense. That's a target for attack. If Chud went to the gun when a gun deadly defensive force was disproportionate, that's the element of proportionality, vulnerable to attack. And if Chud engaged in behavior that the prosecutor believes a typical juror in his district would find unreasonable, that's a target for attack for the prosecutor. So it depends on how the facts work out. If Chud provoked the confrontation, if Chud went to the gun when he shouldn't have, if Chud acted unreasonably, well, there's only five elements of self-defense, and now three of them are viable attacks for the prosecutor. Of course, if Chud didn't do any of that, if the facts we just heard recounted by Amiri were, you know, he was basically innocuous, minding his own business, got attacked from behind, didn't provoke anybody, had reason to believe he was being threatened with a deadly force attack, which doesn't require death, but either death or serious bodily injury. And he had reason to believe this, that it wasn't speculative, it wasn't bare fear. Well, then he's got a very solid claim of self-defense, but we can't really know until we see evidence.
There's a complete and total overview. I thought that was pretty good. Good enough to play it from a very good lawyer is what they say. Oh, shit, he's at $243,000. Well, he needs $250,000 to put up a good legal defense, probably $500,000 to take care of extra expenses. He has a $1.25 million bond. It may be reduced. They're trying to post bond, and they don't want to let him out. And post bond, you only need, what, 10%, right? So he can post bond. But you do lose the whole entire amount, though. You know, so you're just kind of like... It's brutal stuff, and I know they were running in towers in the particular donations. It will keep coming in because a lot of whites see themselves in this position right now. You know, they see that this could happen to them. And so, but he is getting up there. Will he reach a million? I think he has a good chance, and he's going to need every dollar. All right. Did Chud the Builder escalate the confrontation before Tennessee shooting? Let's watch a couple of these. And I do have kind of an update at the end, or what looks to be an update from witnesses around.
It's not at all the case. And it's important to think this is another one of Dalton's streams, where he poses the do you believe in free speech gotcha question and then drops the N-bomb on an unsuspecting minority. This is not at all the case. And it's important in the context of his claim of self-defense, it sure is, and whether or not Dalton provoked the altercation. The first point is that Joshua Fox initiated contact. I think by contact he doesn't mean the punch. I think he means Fox approached.
Yeah, he drove for an hour just to get after him.
Chud started whatever their conversation was.
We need a white-only planet. Working on it.
The story, as we know it so far, is that as Chud was leaving the courthouse, Joshua Fox recognized Chud, started pointing, laughing, calling out to him. Joshua Fox knew who Chud was, recognized him in public, made the initial move to invoke some sort of interaction between the two by taunting Chud from across the street. Well, none of that's a crime, right? Chud then walked over to Joshua, and while we don't know the context of that conversation for certain, allegedly, Chud only attempted to make small talk before Joshua told him to go on and to go away. Well, the trouble is, folks, that a prosecutor is going to characterize this very differently. A prosecutor is going to say, all right, Joshua was mocking him and then
Judd decided to escalate by actually physically approaching Joshua Fox. That's part of his provocation. If you want to avoid trouble, if you're someone who just bonded out of court over this restaurant fracas, you just got out of court minutes ago, and somebody's mocking you on the street because they know your social media profile and history, are you trying? Would a reasonable person then approach that mocker to have a conversation, or would you avoid them? You don't have a legal duty to avoid them, but what would a reasonable person do? Allegedly, Chud only attempted to make small talk. Who knows, right? Is that how Joshua Fox would characterize the interaction? Before Joshua told him to go on and to go away, and then the second point, Dalton walked away. Dalton left Joshua, crossed the street back to the courthouse. At this point, the interaction was over and finished. However, Joshua Fox followed Dalton across the street and directly approached him. Then, according to Chud's testimony, I don't know that. Okay, according to Chud's testimony, Joshua. So there was, I believe, after the cops and EMS showed up, Chud started talking. There's a recording of him talking, which he. I don't know if Chud's smart enough to risk that kind of conversation in the immediate aftermath of a use of force event where he shot somebody, but nevertheless, he made that choice. According to Chud's testimony, it's his statements, really, it's not testimony. Joshua Fox threatened Chud by saying something to the effect of, "I am a combat veteran. You're not going to be saying all that chimping out S around me. This is a clear verbal threat of physical harm." It's no different than what Chud says. You know, don't step up on me. I'll pepper spray you. Chud then says to Joshua, "Oh, so you are chimping out." This is when Joshua punches Dalton in the face. Is a normie jury going to consider that, telling a black man you're chimping out, provocation that provoked the punch? Is that beyond the bounds of reason? You don't imagine a jury, especially the black jurors, would conclude that qualifies as provocation under Tennessee law that loses Chud self-defense? And this is written by someone who's favorable to Chud, thinks his claim of self-defense is not just viable, but will be successful.
Yeah, the law is definitely stacked against you if you're a well-known white dude. Actually, if you're white, period. That's the challenge with this particular case. But everyone's going to see it as unfair. It is, because our laws were never intended for nons to begin with, if you really think about it. You're bringing nons under Western English common law. Most states, the vast majority of states, have English common law. Chud the Builder legally used deadly force after being punched first. He says basically the same thing here. Let me get to this. A jury could reject Chud the Builder's defense even if Joshua attacked first. Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, again, this is kind of redundant. He's going over this trying to help people realize that the law's pretty much stacked against you if you defend yourself in white, is what he's saying. The problem is that he's a well-known streamer, and he got out of court, and he went anywhere near a guy that was catcalling him. And no matter what happens next, if someone attacks him and he responds, defends himself, that problem of reasonableness in front of a jury is just problematic. The jury situation is problematic. And this is Exhibit C, a view of the infamous live stream accounts, what they witnessed. Okay. All right. Black dude says something else. Chud simply walks away. All right, he notices a black couple pointing at him, and he walks past them and asks if they're having a good day, and they like his suit, really just going to have a conversation with them because they initiate it by pointing, so he's curious to know what's up. After he asks how they're doing, the guy responds and says, "Get out of here," or something like that to that effect. Chud says, "I'm free to be where I want to be." Black dude says something else, and Chud simply walks away. He's 50 feet away, and they come up, and he then asks him if he's going to chimp out or something. We'll have to see how it plays out, but the problem is the jury and these particular, how these facts are going to work in his particular case. Unfair? Absolutely. Again, are our laws designed for people that do chimp out? No. No, we know that because they were excluded. You know? But of course, the attorney, you know, he can bring that up as well, but that has no bearing in court. That's the sad part of it. So the best you could get a hung jury, that would be intriguing, that you have some white-based jury members that hang the jury. That, I would predict, will be inevitable eventually, that you're going to have whites hang juries, because we've seen that in the OJ trial. We've seen this time and time again where blacks basically don't want to convict one of their own. Could that be a factor in this in a small Tennessee town? I don't know. It could be. It's always a coin flip where you're going to get that one white guy or gal, like the people watching, that just says, you know what? I'm hiding my power levels and I'm just going to hang this fucking jury. If he doesn't get off, I'm going to hang the jury. That would be intriguing. Not impossible. I think that's more probable than him getting self-defense based on the evidence, simply because of the live stream and the fact that they're going to see him as quote-unquote racist. But that is a factor that's going to come into play in America, if not in this case, some case. And I think we can all predict it. You know, you're going to have thousands of Chud the Builders out there. You know, lots of good old boys in that area. Could you get someone on the jury that hangs a jury? That would be news. That, I think, is a coin toss. I just don't know the odds. He said Joshua taunting him is not legal, so how can Builder say chimp out mean he can't defend himself? Well, you have to go over the particular rules and the tests he's using. The reasonable person problem, the reasonable person, this particular reasonable person test for the jury is the difficult one, because he just came out of court and he shouldn't have walked anywhere near the guy. Is his interpretation of the reasonableness. You know, he shouldn't engage with them at all. So, you know, in your effing dreams, you don't think whites will eventually hang a jury, some white guy? I think you would hang a jury, Vengeance. I think everyone watching the stream would hang a jury, because you're more loyal to whites than you are the law. Was it in Clarksville? I think so. But I don't know where it would be in court. I guess it would be in that county. You're going to have blacks on the court. You could have a white hiding their power levels. But I don't know. It's eventually going to happen in this country. I think we all know. I just don't know when. And I don't know what the odds of this. The entire South is on fire. Black Southern Democrats warn that minority-majority legislative districts are at risk. The Republicans are rolling back these particular districts that have been all black and corrupt for years. Well, that's what they're saying. We'll have to see how it ends up. They're not rioting over it, though. I would hang everyone on it, Vengeance. The problem is that there seems to be never punishment for blatant bias, treacherous judges, 100%. It's a one-way street. Everyone sees the double standards. Whites, you know, the question really for me is, can a white guy whose politics are called quote-unquote racist, who's pro-white, can that white guy defend himself and in any way, shape, matter, or form, and it be basically ruled self-defense? I think it's the problem is, under these current arrangements, it seems impossible that you can defend yourselves against blacks and have it be self-defense. If you're anyone considered openly pro-white, if you're not and you say, oh, I'm anti-racist or whatever, you know, it's a 50-50 because you're white. But if you're pro-white, it seems to be a one-way street. They're going to railroad you. Unless we start hanging juries, which, I mean, it's not like the law means anything. The laws were designed for whites. Country was designed for whites. And now everyone else is taking advantage of it, including the prosecutors. It's already illegal to be white and breathe. It's true. AI license plate cameras tore this town apart and led to the state of emergency. So they had put AI cameras were giving out tickets, which is what they want. And this small town in New York's going crazy over it. I don't blame them. Way too many invasions on our privacy, but it's been that way for quite a while. And the judge looks to be like, well, it doesn't matter whether they're Democrat or Republican, because Republicans can be just as bad. The judge doesn't matter as much as the jury in this case. It's not a trial by judge. The judge matters as far as evidence goes, but we'll have to see. He definitely, from setting the bail, it seems he didn't set the bail at $500,000. He set it at $1.25 million. It seems a little bit crazy, but the judge also knows probably the guy had already raised $100,000, and he knows at $1.25 million he only needs 10%. So he only needs $125,000, which he has. He's going to post bail. And who knows what kind of wealthy guy watching his streams is like, this is bullshit, and is going to help him out, because that's what's occurring on Give Sin Go. College kid shuts down high-speed trains with a laptop and a radio. These kids are dangerous with these laptops and radios. I don't know. Green card holders targeted for deportation by new removal apparatus. They're saying they're pulling tens of thousands of green cards up and making them come in. And if they don't come in, they get thrown out of the country and or both. A lot of people are afraid of this. In other words, green card holders are afraid of this. I'll have to see it. So far, I mean, we don't have millions removed. I don't see anything other than an act of God doing that. Trump's not going to. But nonetheless, I'm bringing you guys the news. It could scare some people into leaving. That is occurring. We just don't know the numbers and can't trust the numbers. This headline's for sure. Why the Jewish establishment wants progressives talking about ICE instead of Gaza. Yeah, we want you. We got all this ICE drama. You progressives are supposed to talk about ICE. You're not supposed to talk about Jews genociding Palestinians. He's got another bail hearing Wednesday. Yeah, I'll cover it on Wednesday. The bail may go up. I don't think so. If anything, it would go down. I guess I could be wrong. I don't see any reason for it to go up. If anything, it might be reduced to $1 million or 900,000 or $500,000. I don't know that he's just high profile, that's why, and he's white, you know, but I think it's a funny piece over there. This is Jose Nino, who writes some great articles. Streeting reopening Brexit wars by calling UK return to EU a bit odd. So we're going to some European news, and we've got the Labour Party in the UK is in trouble, and the guy looking to take over for Starmer wants the UK to join the EU again. I don't know if that's going to help him or hurt him. We'll have to see. One in three Reform UK voters has a positive view of Tommy Robinson. Okay. Only one in three. Now, Tommy Robinson led a big march. We're going to pay attention. We're going to check out the march. Now I'm going to take a short water break. Got to run and get some more water here. All right, this is the march. That is a big march, that's for sure. Of course, he can do marches. He's a Zionist and anti-Islam. Okay. He's the hero the Jews want for Britain. Let's check out this guy. Jake Lang was over there. How did he get in? All these European nationalists were kicked out, but he got in. Over 2 million blooded British patriots have just flooded the streets of London. 2 million. Tommy Robinson brought out 2 million.
And pervert the law code and weaponize it against you in order to give you harsher sentences, lack of due process, and basically obliterate your human rights. So I was seen as a conservative Christian figurehead. And so they said...
Is he a figurehead? I never heard of Jake Lang until just recently. Now, Jake Lang, of course, is Zionist as well.
We need to stamp and trample upon this person's rights. And it's the same thing here in the United Kingdom. If you do something in the name of the Labour Party, or you do something in the name of radical leftists or Islamic, you know, they can go in, they can occupy a building, they can say whatever they want. But we can't. And so there's a two-tiered system of justice. And, you know, Lady Liberty, Lady Justice is supposed to be blind. That's what we're taught in America. And we're supposed to be treated all equal in the justice system. But when you have the justice system giving harsh sentences out because of your political beliefs or religious beliefs, and then handing out basically slaps on the wrist to other people, then you're going to get millions of people showing up at events like this saying justice should be level and even for everybody.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me, and it's an honor to meet you.
God bless.
Okay, Jake Lang got over there. Fascinating. Now, they're making fun of Muslims. I don't know if they're going to go to jail for this. Mockery of Muslim women who wear the hijab over at the Unite the Right, or this is called the niqab, full body whatever. The fake patriots don't give a toss about the UK or celebrating British culture. They just obsessed with hating on Muslims and Islam. Well, that's the way the Jews want it. They want a bloodbath. Old Testament style bloodbath. They'll probably get it. I won't be engaging in any of this shit. Okay, hold on here. They come out in these things right here. These are white women. Okay. Okay, these are Tommy Robinson girls that came out in burkas or whatever you want to call it. All right, not very impressed. This I thought was the more interesting one. A preacher was cut off mid-speech at Tommy Robinson Unite the Kingdom event, that's what it was called, after speaking about multiculturalism, Christianity, mass immigration. The speaker said Britain is not multicultural and described Christianity as the country's only culture, referred to murderous hordes of invaders. All right, I like this. UK police can now hold a protest organizer legally responsible for alleged hate speech delivered by speakers, calling them co-conspirators. So they basically cut this guy off and dragged him off. All right.
And you have to remember, people, that the foundational building block for our nation, for Britain, United Kingdom, is Christianity. We are not a multicultural. The culture of these lands is Christianity. That is our very foundational building block. Let me tell you something. 1,000 years of Christianity, of incredibly brave Christian fighting men. And you have to think, where does that saying come from, this green and pleasant land? Well, I'll tell you why it's a green and pleasant land. And that's because it is absolutely soaked and saturated in the blood of Christian patriot fighting men and women that stood in fields.
Well, I don't know. They were spilling blood 9,000 years or so before that, too. So let's not forget about that.
With swords, shields, axes, pitchforks, and they defended their children.
He is a preacher, though. So
their land, their country, from the rampaging, murdering hordes, invaders. Huh? I've just got to do the Lord's Prayer. So what I'm going to do is, I just want to start off with a little blessing. We're just going to say the Lord's Prayer.
Cut him off. And he got a little too spicy. All right. You can make fun of Muslims, but you can't say it's a... I would think making fun of Muslims would be hate speech, too. They didn't cut those women off. I don't know. The laws in the UK. Now, Mark Collette will be on Memorial Day, a week from Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern. He's coming on for a special. He is writing on Substack all the time. Centuries-old English law subverted for Israel. We're going to bring him on. We're going to talk about his particular... He was at this particular event, and so he'll be on a week from tomorrow at 3 p.m. Keep that in mind. Memorial Day in America. He's not a preacher. Okay, Aunt Sally. How you doing, Aunt Sally? Your man Mark Collette will be on a week from tomorrow, 3 p.m. So kind of remember that. Tommy needs to go to Saudi Arabia. Yeah, well, he's probably been. Maybe. Maybe he's on the Qatari payroll. I don't know. Guys, I'm going to take a break for a couple minutes. We're going to do a short... Let's do a short, let's play Hyrith. Let's play our intermission. And I'll be back in a couple minutes, okay? Okay, we are back, guys. I appreciate you guys tuning in and supporting the show. Let me see here what's going on. And see what is up. And you can put in super chats 24/7. I'll cover it on the next show if it's something you want me to cover. And anything other than that, let me see what's going on here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. On Wednesday, we probably will be on X. Now, I know that they have automated, which they have on YouTube as well. A lot of people think I delete chats on YouTube. I've never deleted anything on YouTube. I do delete the YouTube live stream afterwards, but things are automatically deleted on YouTube very quickly. YouTube has this AI sensors, and X is running an AI sensor as well on live stream. So it's like, you know, but we'll be experimenting with that. But I appreciate you guys tuning in. looking for clean and sober. Is that for real? Looking for clean and sober NatSoc friends in my Discord? I wouldn't advertise your Discord, a NatSoc Discord. In any chat, I just would warn about Discords because most people aren't going to trust Discord. Just some advice. I don't know. I guess it's meeting clean and sober NatSoc friends. I mean, you'll meet them. You'll meet them. I don't know if you're going to meet them advertising a Discord. You might meet something way worse, though. Yeah, a lot of people are going to think that's suspicious. So I would just, in fact, I would appreciate no links in the chat. You can put in super chats for that type of thing. I will read it. But my warning is I would not. You do get a type of person that comes into this type of thing that is looking for fellow travelers, and they are somewhat naive, somewhat harmless, like, okay, I'll just find white people that think like me by advertising it, and they get a lot more than they bargained for because the enemy also checks out this stuff, you know? Well, I'm clean and sober, but, yeah, I don't get on Discord. Not going to get on Discord. Most Discord bans people like no tomorrow, you know. Trying to stay sober, looking for sober friends. Yeah, it's honorable and admirable. I wouldn't advertise your Discord though in any pro-white chat. It's too many enemies, and there's too many bad apples these days. Basically, enemies posing as us. That's the problem. Trojan Horse, the shape-shifting politics of Peter Maguire. Yeah, we got this guy running Hungary, and guess what he's going to do? He's going to throw everything out the window. Oh, it's your personal Discord. All right, so it's kind of like messaging on Telegram or something. Okay. I don't know. My advice would be... there's all kinds of different local groups out there. Once you're around for a bit, you'll get to know people, and you'll figure out who's who in your particular area, and that's how that works. But unfortunately, with the enemy as it is and all the crazies, can't trust anything online. Not these days. But Hungary's being sold out by the guy that they elected not to sell them out. And we belong to a race of suckers. On one end, you got the Zionists. On the other end, you got the shitlibs, who are also dangerous. Arabs in Austria are creating UK-style grooming gangs, targeting underage girls and turning them into sex slaves. Go figure. Yeah, it's kind of like the vast majority of nons you let in are going to do the same thing. Go after the white women. The younger ones, that's the way they're going. Italian locals shocked as car speeds into pedestrians. This terrorist attack or whatever it was in Italy. Check out this video, guys. I don't think there's sound on it, but it's pretty wild. Hold on, let me... Yeah, it does have sound. Oh, they got the car blurred out. Basically, down the right, he's just...
Ha forzato, ha aperto il portellone, la portiera della macchina. Il sospetto scende dalla macchina e mentre tenta di soccorrere la signora amputata, con le gambe amputate, scappa.
Ah, ok.
A che l'ho inseguito, nel frattempo altre 4 o 5 persone mi sono venute dietro e
qua in via Rua Pioppa, questa via,
l'ho inseguito, è sparito dietro una fila di macchine, poi risaltato fuori con un coltello in mano, coltello...
Thank you.
chiama la penanza lui. Galera non chiama la penanza.
Now this one was this is showing it. This isn't blurred out. So you guys that are a little squeamish, keep that in mind when I play this. Make sure it's not. Make sure I got all the sound. Let me blow this thing up here.
Development in the beginning of the bulletin. Man drives into pedestrians in Italy. Big breaking news development coming in from Italy. A driver.
Leave it to the Indians to not blur it out.
Collided with pedestrians in the northern Italian city of Modena on Saturday, injuring 8 people, and now 4 of them are critically injured as per the local authorities. Now, as per the mayor, that is Massimo.
Yeah, it was a Moroccan, I think.
Mazzetti said that no one was killed in the dramatic crash, but 4 victims were in serious conditions. Now, also there is a reaction from Giorgia Meloni, who also has commented on the issue, terming the incident as extremely serious. And she said that I express my closeness to the injured people and the families, and I also extend my...
4 injured in critical condition. I wouldn't be surprised if... and 8 are hurt, 4 in critical condition.
Thanks to the citizens who bravely intervened to stop the perpetrator, and to the law enforcement agencies for their response. Because he went for their response.
Check this out.
Now, there were many pedestrians who stopped that road rage. That the person who mowed down many people because he went on.
Look at that. He's basically just targeting them, running as they're walking down the street and trying to hit them.
To stab people. Now, this is exactly the video, ladies and gentlemen. Exclusive first on Republic on your television screen, ladies and gentlemen. This is coming from Modena, Italy. And the driver purposely, he took a left turn. He went towards the sidewalk and he tried to kill people. This is exactly the video that we are talking about on your screen, ladies and gentlemen. Exclusive visual first on Republic. As you can see from the video, this is from Modena, Italy.
Oh, this isn't from India, it's from the UK? Okay.
Where a car driver allegedly tried to mow down and run over many pedestrians. At least 8 are injured. This car rammed into pedestrians in Italian city of Modena. A man drove into a crowd in northern Italy, Italian city of Modena. He injured 8 people. And this is how, when he tried to flee away, he was trying to run away. And then the pedestrians, they took over him and they brought him under control. Now, this is exactly what has happened. Now, 4 civilians were there who tackled the knife-wielding driver. So he did not just run over people. He then went on an attack spree, on knife attack spree. He started stabbing people. That's also that what we are getting. Shortly after the car plowed into a crowd of the pedestrians in Modena, the 4 Italian civilians stepped in and then they tackled the vehicle's driver, pulling him to the ground, as per the city's mayor also. And this is exactly, these are the 2 videos on your screen, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see. Now, 4 citizens who went forward and tackled him, captured him and handed him over to the law enforcement because he was trying to run from that location. 8 people wounded. The car rammed into crowd via Emilia, a busy street in the center of the northern Italian city of Modena. 4 of the pedestrians suffered serious injuries, and including 1 woman whose legs had to be amputated after being struck by the car head-on. So there are serious injuries, ladies and gentlemen. That is what we are talking about. Critically injured people because of this attack. We are being told that this man was from Morocco. All right, for more details on the story, we have Amrita joining us from the newsroom. Amrita, this is a big breaking news development that we are getting about a person, a car that has mowed down, run over pedestrians in Modena, Italy. What's the latest that you are fetching? Because I'm also being told that after the attack, he went on a knife attack spree, but he was controlled by the local pedestrians. Over to you, Amrita.
That's right. That's exactly what happened in Modena in Italy. And he has now been identified as a 30-year-old who was born in Bergamo. And he is of North African origin and has recently moved to Modena just very recently. And according to a source in Italy's Interior Ministry, said that he was, in fact, undergoing treatment for psychiatric disorders. And this is a really big development, because if he is someone who has been still undergoing a psychiatric treatment, and he has been allowed to let loose, and that really needs to be looked into, because so far we don't have any reports of whether this was what his motive was and what are his intentions was regarding this attack, because he straight up rammed into a side of the window shop and just came out from the vehicle and started attacking passers-by with a knife. And so far, as you rightly mentioned, 8 people have been critically injured. And as he was trying to get on with more of these attacks, 4 passers-by who were standing there just tackled him and tried to tackle him and then stopped the further attack.
All right, there's someone saying this is actually India and not UK. Can you tell? I mean, it could be Canada. I thought Maloney was cold on Trump because of Israel and Iran. Maloney's all show. Maloney's all baloney. Maloney's... she's no good. You can't trust any of them. But that's the tragedy of the day. A woman had to have her legs amputated. 4 in critical condition. Who knows how many of them will die. You see that car that hit head-on into the building? Those people were pinned against the building. You know, could be Texas, true. Could be a few different places. I don't know. DOJ probes BlackRock credit fund valuations after dramatic repricing. Well, they might have to pay a fine, but they're going to get off. Come on now. Trump's stunning brunette special assistant he once called most beautiful in the world. This is her right there. It's all they're doing is articles about all these women around Trump these days. If that was his only offense, no one would really care, but, you know, everyone's pissed off at Trump right now. So this is the one that does his 55 tweets every 3 hours, that type of thing. I don't know anything about her. I'm just giving you guys the news. Trump's brazen plan for $1.7 billion slush fund. He sued the IRS for wrongly releasing his tax records for like $10 billion or $12 billion, and he says he'll settle for $1.7 billion. And what he's going to use that $1.7 billion for is to pay off friends and people that were harmed by the government, like the J6ers, which is intriguing. You know, Trump has always got some kind of scheme going on. So he wants a $1.7 billion slush fund to pay off his buddies. Okay. It'd be intriguing if he paid off J6ers. I don't know, one to watch, but will the IRS settle? Well, the IRS did wrongfully release his records, apparently. Will they settle for that much? I don't know, but a Trump slush fund to pay off? Well, I guess it would be good electioneering stuff. He's going to get slaughtered in elections anyways. The military, U.S. military is always in question. These guys that Navy Super Hornets and Growlers, during the Gunfighter Skies air show at Mountain Home Air Base. Okay. This happened today, apparently. So we had some kind of air show. The Navy sends around, I'm sorry, not the Navy, the Air Force sends around these pilots that fly really close to one another during air shows. Every once in a while an accident happens. They rarely end up dead. But, you know, it is somewhat dangerous. But these guys are pretty good. Let's check this out. This isn't like some kind of fuck up over there in the Middle East. This is over in America. I don't know. Oh, man, they clipped each other. I don't know what they were supposed to do. It's probably some money. Money going up in smoke. But, you know, it's kind of like the dice you roll. These are older planes. For trying to perform stunts at air shows. Every once in a while they go down. Looked a little dicey. I'll play it again. But I have seen this type of thing before at these air shows because they are dicey maneuvers. They're getting close to each other trying to fly together or something. And And they pretty much clipped each other. Hopefully those pilots could guide themselves clear of the fire. But anyways, just bringing you guys the news. It happened today. I have seen this type of thing before in these maneuvers, though. Sometimes you screw up. They're definitely dicey. As Hormuz crisis rattles the world, eyes are on another waterway. This is Strait of Malacca? Mallorca? Strait of Malacca. They're basically saying that Hormuz was a warm-up, potentially. If the U.S. goes to war with China, they're going to shut down the Strait of Malacca, which is about another third of the world's, you know, a third of the world's freight. If they go to war in the Pacific, you are witnessing now Strait of Hormuz, a dry run. Singapore, Indonesia, Malaysia all flank the Strait of Malacca, a waterway roughly five times longer and 10 times narrower than the Strait of Hormuz. So they're saying that's going to be another bottleneck for China, potentially, that the way they bottlenecked Iran is the same way they're going to try to bottleneck China. I have a feeling that won't go as bad as the one as went with Iran. This would even be worse. It's just a feeling. China signals tariff cuts, advances in farm market access after Trump-Xi summit. Now, the summit didn't go all that well. Not a lot happened. And we don't know what really was said behind closed doors. Basically, Xi wants to know about Taiwan. Is Trump still going to support Taiwan? And Donald's not going to give that up because that's really the only leverage they might have, if they even have that as leverage. But he did say afterwards that Taiwan chip was on the table, and the Taiwanese didn't like that because they don't want their independence questioned. You know. But just bringing you guys the facts. So the situation, Donald Trump took all the CEOs over there to China, basically saying, China, you need access to the U.S. markets, and I'm here to do deals. But they didn't get a lot of deals done. China instead wanted to know about Taiwan. And China, of course, is preparing for a potential war. And they're talking about they're going to shut down another strait, potentially. That's what they'll go after over there. I think it would be a lot dicier. But drones are in the news. Drones are even replacing snipers because they are more efficient, cheaper, says famed Ukrainian sniper. The battle between Ukraine and Russia has long come down to drone warfare, and now drone warfare is even replacing highly trained snipers. Everything is about drone. The strategic objective is to kill 50,000 Russians per month. Wow. Okay, so basically we had a giant drone attack on Moscow, basically. Moscow rocked by blistering drone strikes, having four dead days after Putin's forces killed 24 in a devastating Kiev attack. All right, Ukrainian drones hit Russia in a massive overnight attack. And I'll show you guys. This is basically in Moscow. So these drone attacks are getting crazier and crazier. And, of course, this came as a response to Russians killing Ukrainians. Looks like a lot of destruction. This is a little something put up about the Ukraine war. Let's watch it, and we're going to talk about more drones coming.
Ukrainian men are going extinct. They're dying every single day. If they don't want to go to war, they will grab them by their neck.
Well, they're switching over to drone warfare. Everything's switching to drones, and they're gonna field robotic soldiers in Ukraine, whole nine yards.
Them so they can get inside the meat grinder. Meanwhile, Zelensky is importing a lot of African immigrants to fill the spots. You can call it whatever it is, but it is a genocide. Ukraine's fertility rate has dragged down dramatically. Now that outnumbers birth by 3-1. Fertility rate per woman is under 0.9 per children. Zelensky also did a multi-billion-dollar deal with BlackRock. BlackRock is so-called rebuilding Ukraine. They're actually buying. While Ukrainian men are dying, Zelensky is selling Ukraine to BlackRock.
Not wrong about that. Putin could be toppled in 60s-style palace coup as Russian elites turn on him. There's more Cope from the UK. Putin's going to be dead. Putin's going to be gone. If I had a dollar for every one of these news pieces I've read over the years, I'd have to see it to believe it. Now, let's get a look at drone warfare, because you never know when they could start going off in America. If warfare comes, if this World War III kicks off and actually fully kicks off, I expect drones to hit America. Axios, just to, before I play this piece on drone squad warfare or whatever, it's about 4 minutes long, it's kind of interesting. Axios warns Cuba stockpiled 300 attack drones with crosshairs on the U.S. homeland. You know China, you know Russia. God only knows what they have in places like Cuba or within America. So I expect drone warfare to eventually come to America, sadly enough. I just don't know what it's going to look like. But nonetheless, this is FPV drone interception to give you guys an idea on how nasty it is.
An FPV suicide drone rushes straight towards you. Instinctively, you raise your rifle and open fire, but the drone is too fast and too small. Your bullets can't hit it, and in the end, it blows you apart on the spot. A second drone comes screaming in. This time, your teammate switches to blinding rounds. The moment the round detonates, red dye bursts through the air and completely covers the drone's camera lens. Unfortunately, the operator keeps flying blindly from memory and still manages to blow your teammate apart. Then the third drone appears. Your teammate immediately grabs a drone jammer gun and fires a radio frequency signal. Electromagnetic noise floods the control channel. The drone loses connection and crashes to the ground, but right behind it comes the fourth drone. Your teammate quickly aims the jammer again, but the enemy instantly switches communication frequencies. Seeing this, your teammate rapidly adjusts the jamming frequency as well. The drone finally loses control and spirals down, shaking. Keeping low, your teammate continues pushing forward toward the objective. Then the fifth drone arrives, this time using fiber optic guidance. The jammer gun in your teammate's hands is completely useless. In the end, the drone blows him apart. The surviving soldiers force themselves to keep advancing. Soon, the sixth fiber optic drone flies in. A soldier fires special multi-projectile ammunition at it. Each round contains three separate projectiles, tripling the firepower and increasing the chance of a hit. But against a high-speed drone, it still isn't enough. The drone dodges and maneuvers through the air before blasting the soldier apart. The soldiers behind him switch to fragmentation rounds. Inside the polymer shell are eight tiny lead pellets. Once fired, the shell opens mid-air and releases all eight pellets at once, dramatically increasing the hit probability. The soldier fires repeatedly and finally destroys the incoming drone. But another drone suddenly darts out. The soldier instantly turns and fires back. The drone weaves and dodges non-stop, avoiding the incoming rounds. At the very last moment, a bullet finally connects and destroys it, but the explosion sends shrapnel flying, killing the soldier anyway. Then, the eighth drone attacks. The soldiers behind him fire a net gun. The propellant launches an interception net, while lead weights around the edges spread it open into a massive web. The moment the drone's propellers touch it, the rotors become tangled and the drone crashes. The soldiers continue advancing. Soon, the ninth drone charges in again. A soldier fires the net gun, but the drone agilely dodges aside. The net gun reloads far too slowly, and the soldier is ultimately blown apart. The soldiers behind him switch to net round.
Notice a lot of soldiers getting blown apart. Now, this is what's going on every day in Israel, by the way. This is literally going on right now in Israel. Well, I should say in southern Lebanon.
rounds. Inside each shell is a folded net weighted with lead blocks. As the drone approaches, the soldier immediately fires. Once the round leaves the barrel, the weights yank the net open toward the drone, but the net creates massive drag and can't travel very far, so the soldier waits until the drone closes within about 30 meters before firing again. The drone dodges erratically, while the soldier keeps firing nonstop until he finally lands a hit. Another drone suddenly rushes in. The soldier immediately takes aim, but at that exact moment, strong winds begin to howl. The launched net round gets blown off course, making it nearly impossible to hit the swaying drone. In the end, the drone wobbles through the storm and flies straight into the soldier, blowing him apart. The soldiers behind him switch to birdshot. Each shell is packed with 281 lead pellets, measuring 2.79 millimeters in diameter. As the drone approaches, the soldier fires the shotgun repeatedly. The moment the shell leaves the barrel, the pellets spread apart into a massive cloud of metal. The dense and continuous spread finally destroys the agile drone. The soldier keeps moving forward, but another drone suddenly attacks. He fires immediately, only to realize this drone uses a carbon fiber shell. The armor can only be penetrated at close range. Because the drone explodes too near him, the soldier is shredded by the blast. To increase the effective range of the ammunition, the next soldiers replace the lead pellets with tungsten shot. Tungsten is 1.5 times denser than lead and extremely hard. This shell contains a staggering 600 pellets. When the drone attacks, the soldier fires the upgraded rounds. Because tungsten is heavier, the pellets still carry tremendous kinetic energy, even at 60 meters. The larger number of pellets also greatly increases the hit probability. When they connect, the hardened tungsten shot punches straight through the carbon fiber shell, destroying the drone from a long distance away. But another drone comes charging in. This one uses unpredictable high-speed maneuvers. The soldier fires again and again, but can barely land a hit. In the end, he still doesn't survive.
Yeah, that's like a best case scenario of seeing all those drones come in. Usually it only takes a few drones, and the next thing you know, that particular group is going to be in some kind of retreat. You know? But eventually they'll have drone solutions. As of right now, you don't really have any good anti-drone solutions to protect troops that are out there, at least according to the Israelis, that are losing soldiers all the time to these things in the hands of Hezbollah. But there will be solutions, and you're eventually just going to see robot versus robot. But until then, like if drones come to America or something like that, I mean, do you know of any solutions? Not really. Maybe get lucky with a shotgun. And we do see Ukrainians get lucky with AK-47s and shotguns and whatnot, but drones have become much more advanced, you know. There's no anti-drone tech for mass drones. They're coming up with stuff, but you know the drones are ahead of the drone and the drone operators are ahead of the opposing solutions as of the right now. It's a problem for troops deployed. Very inexpensive drones just wreaking havoc. You know, if you're advancing on a particular place and they just on a location and they just keep hitting you with FPV drone after FPV drone. It's problematic. You know, you could take out some of them, like in that video, but a lot of different creative solutions these days, you know? There are no anti-drone tech for mass drones. Yeah, not yet. And they're trying to do various different things, but it's a problem. Shoot myself, drone has no target, checkmate. Yeah, there are plenty of Russians and Ukrainians that have shot themselves. Late night blast and fireball near Bet Shemesh rattles jittery residents. And we still don't know what this was. Massive explosion was at Tomar Company, Israel government's defense firm that builds the rocket engines for Arrow 2 and Arrow 3, the systems Israel uses. Controlled detonations require advanced public notification. There was none. We don't know what this was. And
What the fuck?
This is in Israel.
What the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck? Why, Maze?
יש שם בסיס צבאי ואימא שלי.
Yo. Maze.
Everyone's speculating Iran nuked them. Not quite. I don't think we have a bottom line on what happened. I just assume that the Iran situation is going to start up again with...
Fuck.
With Trump basically threatening them. Trump tells Iran, clock is ticking, move fast after new peace proposal, and analysts predict likely to return to war. Yeah, I don't know any other way. They're going to have to do something, but I think it could start with a terrorist attack in America. They're already blaming... Well, let's go to the next one. Let me show you this. Iran allegedly behind Canadian attacks on U.S. consulate synagogue. Of course, this is Jerusalem Post. But nonetheless, I can see like terrorist attacks because they've been saying this about attacks in the U.K. Now, Canada, if there's a big attack in America, blame it on Iran. And then, of course, increase the war, maybe try to draft. I don't know. I'm speculating wildly, but we can all envision it, I'm sure. Let's see. We got some animal stuff before I go off, and I'll be back on Wednesday, guys. Hopefully you guys stay safe out there. You don't really want to mess with an octopus. This white dude pissed off an octopus, but let's show you guys something pretty funny and tragic at the same time if you're this diver. Getting in some lobsters. No, FPV drones can be hardened against EMPs. I assume this is a guy. His octopus, he tried to grab this octopus, probably wants to eat the little guy. And octopus are smarter than little kids, so I wouldn't mess with an octopus. I mean, wouldn't eat one. Too smart to be eating. It's wrapped around his jaw and everything else. It's trying to choke him out. It's supposedly a real video. I mean, they're tagging the stuff on stuff they get that is AI gets automatically tagged by Grok. You know? Little Octo Bro was not fooling around, but we've seen this before. Check this out. They go at it. This isn't AI either. No, they don't fool around. They are smart and aggressive, especially if you try to get after them. They're also pretty friendly. You know? There are several FUD funding accounts. Well, that's tongue twister on GiveSendGo. Well, there's one official one that was up in the chat. Hold on, let me see the official one. The official one has over a quarter of a million on it. Here we go. 244,000 is the official one. I don't know about the other ones. Let me put up the official one in the chat for you guys. Who asked that? Over on YouTube? Let me put it up here. Yeah, eating octopus, they're too smart. There you go, right there, over there on YouTube. There's the official, I don't know about the other accounts, but this is the real one, this is his. I don't have a clue about anything else, but there you go. Pet Gopes saved a trapped family after killer tornado with winds reaching 200 miles an hour demolishes their homes, their home. So pet goats went to work saving a family. Well, can imagine those goats did not want to find another white family to take care of them because whites very good at taking care of animals. Speaking of taking care of animals, here we go. Last news piece of the day. And you guys can check out this this white guy rescuing little birds on a boat out at sea. These birds get tired and fall into the water.
Little birds like this get blown offshore. We pick them up, so we bring them in here. And we set them next to the heater. We feed them some crackers for the ride home. Little birds like this get blown offshore. We pick them up, so we bring them in here. And we set them next to the heater. We feed him some crackers for the ride home. Let him dry out. Little birds like this get blown offshore. We pick them up, so we bring him in here. And we set him next to the heater. We feed him some crackers for the ride home. Let him dry out.
Where'd they be without white people? Says it all. White dude with a bird on his head, saving little birds, blown out to sea. I appreciate you guys. I'll be back Wednesday, same time, same place. Cheers.